Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on swing, and specifically, how to shape it for rag-infused chaos in drum and bass. Now, when people hear the word swing, they often think of a simple shuffle feel. But in this kind of D&B, swing is way more than that. It is not just about humanizing the drums. It is about building tension, swagger, and controlled unruliness. You want the groove to feel like it is constantly leaning, skidding, and snapping back into place, while still punching hard at around 174 BPM. So in this lesson, we are focusing on edits. That means chopped breaks, micro timing, bass stabs, filled design, and transition energy. The goal is to make your track feel like a selector just dropped a wicked dubplate and the whole system is about to shake, but everything is still locked enough to work on the dance floor. Let's start with the foundation. First, build two drum layers. One layer should be a chopped break loop. The other should be a dry anchor pattern, something simple and solid, like a snare on 2 and 4 with a punchy kick pattern underneath. That anchor is important. It gives the listener a reference point while the break gets loose and slippery. If you are working with a classic break, warp it in simplified mode if needed, then slice it to a new MIDI track. The point here is not to keep the loop pristine. The point is to turn it into edit material. Tight slices, playable slices, things you can move around and abuse musically. Now set your tempo somewhere between 170 and 176 BPM. For this style, 174 is a sweet spot. It is fast enough to bounce, but slow enough that you can really shape the pocket. When you program the break, start with the main hits close to the grid. Then let the ghost hits, hats, and pickup notes sit a little late. That slight delay is where the attitude comes from. It gives the groove that rag lilt without turning the whole thing into mush. Now let's talk about swing properly. In Ableton, do not just slap one global swing value on everything and call it done. Think in layers. Your timekeepers are the kick, sub, and main snare. Keep those mostly solid. Your groove carriers are the hats, shakers, ghost hits, and little percussion details. These can sit behind the beat more freely. Your wildcards are fills, vocal cuts, effects stabs, and break slices. These can be the most unruly elements in the arrangement. If you open the groove pool, try something subtle first. Around 54 to 58% swing for hats and lighter percussion can work beautifully. If you want more movement in fills, push those harder, maybe around 60 to 62%, but keep the main backbeat relatively straight so the floor does not collapse. That balance is crucial. In D&B, if you swing the kick and main snare too much, the whole thing loses its authority. You want the groove to feel loose, but the impact points still need to hit like commands. A really useful technique is to apply groove at the clip level, not globally, whenever possible. That lets you keep your main break a little loose, while keeping the bass line tighter. It also means you can swing only the edit layers or top loop. That is where the chaos feels intentional rather than accidental. Once you have a groove that feels good, you can commit it and start making manual edits. This is where the pocket becomes personal. Nudge a ghost note a few milliseconds late. Leave the strong snare where it is. Push a tiny percussion hit forward to create a little tug. This kind of detail is what makes the rhythm feel alive. A great approach is to create three swing zones in the arrangement. One zone is straight, usually the kick and sub anchor. One zone is the pocket, where hats and ghost snares live. And one zone is the chaos area, where fills, vocal chops, and break slices can get really loose. Now let's shape the break itself. Make the phrasing slightly asymmetric. Do not let every 2-bar or 4-bar section feel identical. Remove one kick before a snare to create suction. Duplicate a ghost snare and place it just late of the grid. Add a tiny roll before bar 2 or bar 4. Shift one hat slice earlier, then leave the next one late. Those little mismatches are what create movement. Velocity matters just as much as timing here. If two notes land close together, velocity decides which one reads as the groove driver. Main snares can live in the 115 to 127 range. Ghost snares might sit more around 25 to 55. Hat chatter can vary all over the place. And a few stronger accent hits will keep the break from turning into blur. For processing, keep it tasteful. Drum bus can add drive and body. Saturator can thicken things up. A touch of auto filter can make a fill breathe, but do not overcook it. If the drums get too saturated, you lose the articulation that makes the swing readable. A good starting point is light drum bus drive, moderate crunch, and boom used sparingly. On saturator, soft clip can be your friend if you keep the drive controlled. You want the edit to feel gritty, not brittle. Next, let's bring in the raga influence through call and response. This is not just about using a vocal sample, it is about phrasing. Build a bassline or stab lane that answers the drums like a DJ reacting to the rhythm. A short bass stab after the snare, a delayed response on the end of 2 or 4, a clipped pickup before the drop back into the groove. You can use something like wave-eatable, operator, or analog for the bass source. A strong setup is a clean sub-layer, a mid-layer with some detuned character for Reese movement, and a top layer with filtered noise or harmonic edge. Keep the sub mono and stable. Let the mid and top layers carry the swing and attitude. This is where the call and response really comes alive. The drums speak. The bass answers. Maybe a vocal chop throws a phrase back. Maybe a horn-style stab lands slightly behind the snare. The important thing is that there is space between the statements. If you want extra dub style, use echo on selected hits, not the whole bassline. Throw it on a vocal chop or a stab. Automate the feedback briefly at the end of a phrase. Open a filter only on the final hit before a transition. These little moves make the arrangement feel like it is breathing. A very important concept here is contrast. The strongest DNB swing often comes from the difference between a steady main loop and a more fractured edit section. So keep your main 4-bar groove relatively controlled. Then push the bar 4 fill harder. Make bar 8 more dramatic. Add late ghost hits, vocal chops, reverse effects, bass stabs, all of that. Then maybe pull the swing back for a moment in the next section so the impact feels even bigger when it returns. That contrast is what makes a phrase feel alive. You are not just repeating a loop, you are making it evolve. In arrangement view, a good 8-bar shape might go like this. Bars 1 and 2 establish the groove. Bars 3 and 4 introduce more ghost snares and hat edits. Bars 5 and 6 bring in bass call and response. Bars 7 and 8 intensify with fills, vocal chops, and a filtered transition into the next section. Now here is where things get really interesting. Resampling. Once the pocket feels right, print it to audio. Record your drum group or your full edit bus onto a new track. Then warp it if needed, slice it back into a new drum rack, and start cutting new material from the performance you just created. This is huge because now your timing decisions become audio detail. You can reverse a transient, pitch down a fill hit, truncate a vocal chop, layer a resampled snare ghost underneath the original for more grit. You are turning groove into source material. After resampling, you can clean things up with EQ8, especially if any edits are muddying the low mids. High-pass non-bass material somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz if needed. Glue compressor can add a little cohesion, but use it lightly. You only want a couple dB of gain reduction, not a squeezed-up mess. And if the edit starts feeling too perfect, resample again after changing only one or two timing values. Tiny imperfections often make the whole thing feel more dubplate than polished demo. Now let's make sure the swing still works on a club system. This is key. Swing in DNB has to survive loud playback. If your transients are too soft, the groove disappears. If they are too sharp, everything feels rigid and mechanical, so you want balance. Use drum bus or a bit of clipping to thicken the transient body. Use parallel compression if needed, but keep it subtle. On the bass, keep the sub mono and sidechain it lightly from the kick or drum bus. Do not overcompress the low end. If the bass gets too smeared, the swing becomes hard to read. A good test is simple. Mute the bass and listen. Does the drum swing still feel compelling? Then mute the drums and hear whether the bass rhythm still makes sense. You want each part to speak clearly on its own. Finally, automate the chaos at the edges of the arrangement, not everywhere. That is the pro move. Let the biggest movement happen at phrase endings. Automate filter cutoff on a drum loop during a pickup. Throw echo on a vocal chop. Burst a reverb tail on the last snare before a drop. Open the bass filter or increase distortion right before a switch up. That creates release without cluttering the main groove. A classic move is this. Keep bars 1 through 7 fairly stable, then in bar 8 add a late snare ghost, a vocal chop, and a low pass sweep. Strip the kick from the last half bar. Leave a snapped rim or hat, then slam back into the drop. That tension and release is pure DNB pressure. So, to wrap it up, the big idea here is this. Swing in Ableton Live 12 is not just a shuffle setting. It is an edit design tool. Keep the kick and sub stable. Push the ghosts, hats, fills, and vocal cuts later. Use different swing amounts on different layers. Resample the good stuff, and let the drums and bass talk to each other in a ragga-style call and response. If you do that well, the groove will not just feel human. It will feel dangerous, controlled, and alive. Now grab a break, set it around 174, and start bending the pocket.